Today's Express Yourself begins with the 2018 Resident Artists at the Carbondale Clay Center. The Clay Center's Resident Artists program is 18 years old this year. And this year's residents are Savannah LeBove. Hi, Savannah.
Hello there.
Welcome to Katie and Kay.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Stephanie Seguin. Hi, Stephanie.
How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks for having us.
So how does it feel to be a resident artist at Carbondale Clay Center?
Well, it's a completely new experience for me. I'm just coming out of my undergraduate. So this is a different kind of step away from working in academia and having some time to myself in the studio, as well as giving back to the community. So it's been a great experience so far.
How do you give back to the community?
We teach classes at the Clay Center, adult and kids classes. There's also a few outreach programs that I'm hoping to be involved in the future.
Huh.
Yeah.
How does teaching inform the practice of your art, Savannah?
For me, I think there's so much that you learn when you start to try to teach others. You learn things about how you work, how others understand how you work, and you learn how to communicate better your ideas, and that informs your next projects.
Interesting. So that cliche of the teacher learning while he or she teaches is true.
I think it's definitely true, especially when you're first starting out teaching.
Huh. Is that your experience, Stephanie?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I highly enjoy teaching, and I feel like it's something that becomes a bit of a creative process for me. I try to observe how my students are learning, what they're responding to, what's not working, and try to evolve my teaching in that way, and not only through different projects that I'm doing, but also how I'm addressing and presenting the work in front of them.
Did you discover ceramics due to the efforts of a teacher somewhere along the line?
I did. You know, art for me was always something that I had an interest in and kind of focused on as a younger student. And I had a teacher in high school who I think helped me realize that clay was something that I had an interest in. And then especially in my undergrad and graduate studies, the faculty made very large impressions upon me and helped me kind of drive my teaching as well.
The faculty at where? Where did you go?
So I did my undergrad at Minnesota State University, Moorhead. Mm-hmm. And then I just finished my graduate studies at Penn State right before I came here to this residency program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, are both of those places hotbeds of ceramics?
Well, I'd say ceramics. One thing that's really wonderful about it is you can find a community anywhere you go. I feel like most communities I've been in, clay is it has its presence. Moorhead State, not so much, but Penn State is definitely known for its ceramics program, and I felt really fortunate to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. And your experience in education, Savannah?
So I didn't find ceramics until my sophomore year of college. Art had always been a part of my life, but more in a two-dimensional sense. Just the high school that I went to didn't have the facility or capability of working in sculpture, 3D, or ceramics. So it wasn't until I had declared painting and sculpture as majors that it was a requirement to take a ceramics class. And I immediately loved the malleability and the immediacy of just working with the clay and being able to kind of push it around and do what you want with it and see some direct results. But yeah, definitely the faculty at LSU encouraged me to explore both the ceramics, but also other mediums.
So you were bitten by the ceramics bug, Savannah.
Yeah.
Have you evolved in the direction of functional ceramics or sculptural?
I definitely started off functional. I was trying to combine my painting practice and ceramic practice in the beginning, and that resulted in carving and drawing and painting on functional wares. But soon I realized I wasn't so concerned with the form and the actual functionality of the piece, and I wanted to explore pattern and the drawings in a more sculptural sense. So that's what I'm focusing on now.
Huh. Now, when you're creating sculptural ceramics, do you draw it first?
Sometimes. Sometimes I'll have an idea and I need to kind of work through it in a two-dimensional sense to find some of the design qualities that I want to portray. Other times it's sketching with clay a small maquette or trying to figure out a certain way how to make it. So a lot of times you're trying and failing and trying again and trying again.
And you're failing 90% of the time?
I don't know about 90% of the time, but I do think a lot of it as artists is problem solving. Uh-huh. And so when you're creating, it may not come out exactly how you're expecting or exactly how you're wanting, but then that leads to other ideas and usually better ideas.
Interesting.
To be honest.
Stephanie?
I feel like that's part of the bug of the creative anything, whether it's music or painting or ceramics, is kind of that allure of what you want to achieve and what you're actually able to achieve. And you kind of step by step get closer and closer to what you want to be making. And I think clay especially is one of those. It's a fairly dramatic medium to work with. There's a lot of steps and processes where things can go wrong along the way. So you can spend weeks and weeks working on something, and in the very last firing, it just like disaster happens, and it's all for nothing. But you've learned something along the way, and so you can apply that to the next piece, and from the mistake you might find a new idea. And absolutely, yeah. So the failure is very much so part of the process.
And your work, Stephanie, is mostly sculptural.
I would say so. Yeah, it's. I often kind of talk about it that it alludes to function but isn't functional. I'm often looking at vessels and forms that you might find on tables or in decorative places, and taking those and pairing them with objects that create a composition that starts to ask some questions.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I looked on your website, which, by the way, is Stephanie Seguin. That's S-E-E-G-U-I-N ceramics.com.
Yes, S-E-G-U-I-N. Yep.
Just one E. Uh-huh. Anyway, I looked at your portfolio, and some of those functional pieces, I can see exactly your point, verging on, like, some of them look like right out of a Nightmare by Gaudi.
I like that. Very I've not heard that before.
Very whimsical.
Yeah. Well, I like it to be playful. You know, I want there to be some recognition, something that's accessible for the viewer to come into the piece. And I find vessels, especially decorative vessels, faces, pictures, etc., that's something that people see often, whether it's clay or not. And it's a kind of an approachable point to come into the work that I'm doing.
I think it was, pardon me, I think it was in your archive on your website that I saw quite a few pieces in front of drawings. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
The drawings were part of... Well, so most recently, I would say, I think my current work has most of the drawings with it. And, you know, Savannah was talking about how she started drawing and then wanted that to become three-dimensional, so moved into the clay. I've kind of gone the reverse of that, where I started in the clay and then wanted to try to enter the space of the 2D, and have been curious about finding that kind of 2.5D space.
What does that mean, 2.5D?
Well, somewhere between what's flat and what's volume, and where does that kind of boundary exist, and how can I push that boundary of something existing in space versus on a plane?
Okay.
Yeah, so for example, some of the images that I have on my work or on my website right now, I think become more powerful as an image than they do of the physical 3D object. So in a way, I've created props with the ceramic pieces that I'm making that I can arrange and display to take a photograph, and then the photograph becomes the actual work.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And it's prints of the photograph that you sell or hopefully sell.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still in flux, you know. A lot of this work is newer from grad school. I entered grad school doing functional tableware, decorative work, so mugs, plates, bowls, and that changed fairly quickly when I got into school and started to ask myself some harder questions and became a little more truthful about what I wanted, truthful to myself about what I wanted to be making versus just making what I saw out in the world that I liked. And so I'm figuring that out, and part of the appeal for me of the residency at Carbondale Clay Center was to be able to kind of take a year to digest and unpack everything that I had discovered in school and see where it takes me and what I plan to do with it.
Savannah, you've had some experience with painting, and it strikes me that that knowing and learning and practicing color could be very useful in a ceramics piece also.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think a lot of people think of ceramics as just the making of the clay, but that's really only half, if not less, of the process. There's the after that, there's two firings, and that's where color can come into play a lot. I mean, the clay body has its own color, but yeah, I'm definitely always thinking about the color of the actual piece, the color of the wall that it's going to exist on, or the pedestal, you know, all of those colors play into that. So I do lean on my painting background in that regard.
Huh. Well, that's obvious on your Instagram page. Lots, lots of colors, lots of colors, really colorful pieces. Yeah. Do you see yourself ever working in black and white, or is there such a thing in ceramics? Black and I guess there must be.
Well, my immediate thought was my sketchbook is pretty much black and white. It's white pages and Micron black pen. So I do feel like the base of new projects and ideas, they do start that way. And then slowly, depending on if I'm working towards a show or a body of work, I'm always thinking about how the pieces are going to exist together. And I also think sharing a space with Stephanie, like we rub off on each other whether or not we want to. And so, you know, she at the very beginning was working with a lot of white, and I have found myself like toning it down on the color. I had a lot of failures with some glaze testing, and I kind of decided to give up on trying to put so much color all at once and focus more on form and the process of making, and to deal with some of the color choices later.
Interesting. Interesting. At some point, I don't know if it was a caption on one of your Instagram pics or somewhere else, but you talk about pattern on pattern on pattern.
Yes.
Tell me more. That's interesting.
Well, I had this moment in undergrad. I was my second to last semester. So it was my last year of school. And I was starting to look towards a BFA show, and I wanted to have my own show by myself. And I knew I didn't want functional work. And I had this realization that when I was making functional work and trying to combine the painting with it, it translated into carving or drawing pattern. And at some point, I wanted the form to fall away, and I wanted to create actual physical sculptural pattern. And so I was combining the painting and ceramics still, but it started with a base of pattern that a painting formed on top of. And I took that same pattern and made it in the three dimension out of clay. And then the two were shown together side by side for the show.
Oh, that's interesting. And that was a new direction for you? Something
very much so. I had been making functional work prior to that. So it was like at the very end of my schooling, deciding to turn away from everything I knew and try something completely different. So I'm kind of in the same boat as Stephanie in terms of digesting and kind of looking back on and reflecting what I had just started at the end of my schooling and wanting to continue it.
That sounds like a brave choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking, but I think it paid off.
How so?
Well, I feel like it, just like Stephanie said, realizing something about yourself and what I was missing and the satisfaction. And I knew that my forms and functionality, they weren't where I wanted it to be, but I didn't want to focus my time on perfecting those. I wanted to spend more time on the pattern and the repetition and the drawing and the three dimension. So I decided to focus on that. And maybe one day I'll bring the function back in, but I also don't like thinking of function and sculpture as separate things. I think they're together in so many ways, and it's not necessarily a good thing to separate them.
Interesting. I see you shaking your head, Stephanie.
Well, that's an interesting point to make. I tend to separate function and sculpture, but I think you're right. I think that it probably doesn't do us all in the clay world much justice to do that. I feel like my work tends to kind of walk the line of functional and sculptural. Like I said, it's forms that are alluding to function, but if you were to want to use them, they're not going to function all that well. I'm not paying a lot of attention to the utility and the practical use. But there's a place for them to all come together. Mm. So worth investigating.
On your website, Stephanie, excuse me, you talk about the peculiarities and the curiosities.
Yeah.
Tell me more. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. So I think in that same line, it talks about the overlooked and the unseen. And I think what I'm most interested with my studio work and what I try to remind myself of often is to find the nuance instead of the novelty, or to substitute the nuance for the novelty. I think for a long time in clay, I was very interested in what was kind of hot, what was coming out, what was new trends, new techniques, and really wanting to match that and kind of learn through replicating other people's work that I was seeing and figure out, how do they do that? I want to do that. And then once I achieved that, figuring out, okay, well, it's not quite me. Maybe I'll try what this person's doing. And kind of working my way down the line and asking myself more and more questions that were authentic to myself and not just what do I like to see and what do I wish I were making, I discovered that this idea of the overlooked and the subtleties, and that's something I think is missed often in daily life. We can always find the big and sometimes the bad, but it's hard to find the little moments, and I think the little moments are really important, and so I think those subtleties are something I try to bring to my work, or at least have help drive the questions.
Is that discovering those little moments? Is that a process thing, or is that a materials thing? Is it both? What is it?
It's probably both. Process more than anything. You know, I feel like a lot of times I will be on kind of on a path to an end goal. Like I'll sit down and I'll say, all right, this is what I'd like to do. And in trying to execute that, I might be sitting in my studio having lunch. My mind's kind of not on my work. And all of a sudden I realize, oh, that looks really good sitting like that. And so just kind of being open to the accidental and trying to be aware of what is it about the way that's leaning that is so visually appealing to me. Okay, it's this. So how do I bring that intentionally into my work? Those, I think, are the little moments that come through in process.
Is that your experience too, Savannah?
I think so, yeah. When we were talking about failures and the problem solving, I think that goes hand in hand with what Stephanie was saying. I'm thinking about a piece that I've been trying to execute, and I was trying to do it in certain ways, and I knew it wasn't going to work out. But I needed to try it anyhow. And trying it in certain ways informed size, scale, how is it going to sit on the wall? And then that led to new discoveries on how to make. And I've executed it in a certain way. And there were so many subtleties and little moments that were surprises. They were completely unplanned. But there was something about the process that I was choosing to make this piece that I think is going to inform many more pieces to come, just because of those small moments, those accidental subtleties.
That's really exciting.
It is. I think so as well.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah, and go ahead.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think that's part of the addictive quality.
Exactly. You know? It's so addictive.
You reach the goal you thought you had, and you're like, okay, wait, no, now I've got six more.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that part of your residency at the Carbondale Clay Center is teaching. Is there an opportunity to be taught? Are there mentors that come along and answer questions or direct you in different directions?
There are, yeah. So this year, I think, is the first year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The Clay Center has paired up with several local, well-established, known artists to provide a mentorship program for the residents of the Clay Center. And so we're meeting with them. We just kind of maybe a few weeks ago, had our very first group meeting, kind of as a get to know each other. Savannah and I had them into our studio space where we presented our work and discussed kind of like a small critique, or a short critique, I should say.
Yeah.
And then from there, we will reach out independently. And these mentors have offered up their time to kind of whatever we're interested in. They've said, if you want a studio critique, we'll do that. If you're interested in talking about
life,
yeah, what it's like to be an artist, how we got where we are, yeah, ideas you have, and so that's really exciting to be a part of that this first year that they're running it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
How about that? Was Carbondale on your radar before? When? How did Carbondale and the Clay Center get onto your radar? How did that happen? Because you're from Louisiana, yeah, Savannah, and you're from Minnesota. How did that happen?
Well, for me, at Louisiana State University, there was a grad student, Mike Stumbris. He was a former resident, and he kind of took me underneath his wing a little bit in terms of encouraging me in what's next, what's after school. I think he saw a potential and wanted me to strive for more, and whether or not that was applying to grad school or residencies. So he kind of gave me a list of, hey, you should check this out. Hey, you should check this out. And it's all in passing, just in the ceramic studio in the hallway kind of thing. But he kept bringing up Carbondale. He had been here. He had experienced it. And he kind of knew that I was looking for something smaller. I mean, I went to a university of 30,000, and I am now living in a town of about, what, six? Uh-huh. A little bit more than six. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I applied to a few different places, and this seemed like a great fit for me.
Yeah, for me, Carbondale was always on my radar since I was an undergrad. And it just never quite made sense to apply to this residency. I had other opportunities, and I just, my path took me a little different way. But leaving school, my husband and I wanted to be back in the mountains. We were in Pennsylvania, which was very beautiful, but before that, we were in northwestern Montana. So I think we were ready to be back in the Rockies and experience a small mountain town, but also wanted to go somewhere new and not just go back to where we had come from to go to grad school. And it felt like a good time to apply for a residency. And just like Savannah, it felt like a good fit. I think it has been a good fit probably for both of us. So, yeah.
I'd like for both of you to give me a sense of what the coming year looks like for you as a resident at the Carbondale Clay Center.
Busy.
Really busy. Lots of teaching. But the biggest thing on our horizon, I think, is our show. Mm-hmm. We have a joint show in July. It'll be first Friday of July. That's kind of, I feel like, is the milestone, or like the marker at this point, what we're working towards. I don't know if you feel that way, Stephanie, but yeah, that's definitely how I feel. And then after that, I'm not sure. Like, that's as far as I'm thinking right now. And we'll be here for another year and have solo shows the following summer. So that'll probably then be the next big milestone. But yeah.
It sounds like it's useful to have that show as a goal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it kind of gives us a frame of reference, like, okay, you have a certain amount of time to explore and have some R&D in your studio, but you also need to be, you know, making something that you want to showcase, and how is it going to look together, and all the things that come with putting a show on.
Right. Well, and it's in any aspect of life, it's amazing how quickly time flies. But I'm, you know, just realizing the other day, we're halfway through our first year of our residency.
Can't believe it.
And it feels like we just got here. At least I feel that way.
I agree.
And there's been a lot of exploration, but yeah, definitely having a deadline and a goal is a good way to kind of push the creative juices, instead of just kind of falling back on what you know and what you enjoy doing, starting to challenge yourself a little harder because you know you've got an event coming up. So, yeah,
very interesting. Well, it's really fascinating to talk to you about what your work and how you do it and what you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much,
Stephanie Seguin and Savannah LeBove.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Yeah. All right, stay with me. There is more to come on Express Yourself.